My next guest gives us an in-depth look inside of Apple Computer, a unique company and its ecosystem of suppliers, investors, employees, and competitors. The lessons that he reveals about Steve Jobs, his leadership, product design, and marketing are universal. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 289-1520. Adam Leshinsky is a senior editor at large for Fortune magazine, where he covers technology and finance. He's also a Fox News contributor and frequent speaker and moderator. Prior to joining Fortune, Adam was a columnist for TheStreet.com and the San Jose Mercury News. He lives in San Francisco along with his wife and daughter, joining us from the Bay Area. Hi, Adam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being a guest on the show, and thank you for writing the book Inside Apple, a fascinating look at a time where everybody is really eulogizing Steve Jobs and, of course, the incredible rise of Apple since he returned back to the company. So I guess my first question to you is this, Adam. How does one separate Steve Jobs from Apple? The two seem inextricably linked to me.
It's a great question. They are inextricably linked in your mind and in the minds of many other people, in part because this is one of the things that Apple has promoted over the years that is part myth and part reality. So this was a man who absolutely guided everything important that happened at the company. He drove the vision, the culture, the behavior, the business decisions, and so on. Having said that, it's a company with more than 25,000 non-retail employees. It has people who are excellent in their fields who have been there for more than 15 years, and so many things go on at Apple that Steve Jobs didn't touch, and there is a great company there beyond just what he accomplished as one man.
All right. Well, Adam, Apple is absolutely known for its secrecy, from being quiet with the media about its new products and everything else. Apple's even known to be secretive among its own employees, and perhaps with good reason when you consider the quote-unquote lost iPhones that have surfaced in coffee shops around Silicon Valley.
Well, yeah, I have a view on the lost iPhones or the iPhones that have shown up in bars and whatnot. I think that things like that happen at every device manufacturer in the Valley and elsewhere, but when it happens to an Apple device, it becomes headline news because it's Apple. And because we know that they're so secretive, you mentioned that it's well known that they're secret internally. I think it's well known, if I could be immodest, in part because of my book. This was one of the great realizations for me in my research, that every company keeps secrets. Apple keeps secrets from its own people. So people who work on the same product don't necessarily know each other and don't know the parts of the product that they're not working on. They'll find out about these things the same day that you and I find out, when Apple announces them to the public.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Adam?
You know, I try to analyze this in a non-judgmental way. It is one of the factors that has led to Apple's excellence. It's part of their secret sauce, part of their recipe. If that alienates some people because they'd like to have a better feeling or a communal feeling about working at Apple, then Apple's not the place for them.
Well, doesn't it make it the individual working on whatever component of that is just that much more razor-focused on his or her part and his or her part alone?
Yes, that is exactly my thesis in the book, that Apple is a discipline-focused company. Apple employees are not multitaskers by the way they do their jobs. They are like horses fitted with blinders. They charge forward. They don't look left. They don't look right. They don't play politics very much, by the way, because it's hard to play politics if you don't have any information with which to do so.
I suppose it is. My guest is Adam Leshinsky, author of the book Inside Apple, How America's Most Admired and Secretive Company Really Works. So, Adam, in this age where everything is becoming more transparent, you suggest in your book that the companies need to embrace secrecy. and so I guess my first question is, why be counterintuitive like that? And then secondly, if Apple, in fact, is so secretive, how did you get inside access to all of the secrets?
So what I'm saying is, if you want to understand Apple's success and you want to be more like Apple, and it's not necessary that you do need to be, but if you want to try to emulate what they do, then you need to be more secretive, because that's how they do it. It won't work for everyone, but it will work in certain circumstances, especially if you're making a device that, you know, only comes out several times a year where keeping secrets is imperative for competitive and customer reasons.
All right. The second part of that is, how did you get unparalleled access inside of Apple?
Well, I did it, frankly, with gumshoe investigative reporting. I spoke overwhelmingly to people who have worked at Apple. My bias was toward people who had worked there recently, as opposed to people who worked there in the 80s or 90s. And I spoke to people at all levels of the organization, my thinking being that because I wanted to describe how the place works, someone who is relatively junior's experiences are just as relevant to me as that of somebody who's very senior, which is the typical kind of executive that a business journalist like myself would be allowed to speak to.
And who was the highest senior executive that you talked to inside of the Apple organization, or who had recently left the Apple organization?
The most senior person that I quote by name from an interview in the book was Avi Tavanian, who was a senior software executive for many, many years, and Steve Jobs was the best man at his wedding. I'll point out to you, without answering your question directly, that Steve Jobs and Tim Cook, the current CEO, both are quoted in my book as well.
Yes, they are. And that was leading me to my next question, Adam, which is this. With this whole cloak of secrecy, one of the best-kept secrets at Apple was, in fact, Tim Cook, who is now the CEO of the organization. So Cook is a former CEO of Intuit, the financial software company, but besides that, he was relatively unknown when he came to Apple. Now, you identified him very early on as the heir apparent to Steve Jobs soon after his arrival. What made Tim Cook the heir apparent in your estimation?
Well, let me quickly just correct a couple of things that you said. You're confusing him with Bill Campbell, who was a key member of the board and is a key member of the board of directors, who was a former CEO of Intuit. Cook had been at Compaq in the late 90s when he was hired to come to Apple as the head of their supply chain and logistics. And I identified him as the heir apparent in 2008 when he was the chief operating officer, and because he filled in for Jobs on all of Jobs's medical leaves of absence. And I think what made Cook the heir apparent and what made him the natural successor to Jobs, even though he's so different from Jobs, is really just that. He was so different from Jobs that he's somebody that Steve Jobs felt comfortable succeeding him. If someone was too much like Steve Jobs, I think it would have made him feel very awkward making that person his successor.
Well, then real quickly, will Tim Cook be able to keep the legacy alive? He's not the showman that Jobs was.
Right.
Will he be able to carry on all of the products that Steve Jobs left in the pipeline for Apple?
Well, I think there's no question he'll be able to carry on the products in the pipeline. The great question will be if he'll be able to keep the magic going once those products are already out. I think that the culture of Apple will survive for quite a long time, and so the great question will become, can they do the right things Steve Jobs' way? And that will not be a slam dunk by any means.
No, it won't. My guest is Adam Leshinsky. Adam, we've got a break for news and traffic here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I want to pick it up with our conversation about Apple and the powerful messages that they craft.
Come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on News Talk 1520 KVTA. My very special guest on the line is Adam Leshinsky, author of the book Inside Apple, How America's Most Admired and Secretive Company Really Works. And Adam, before we went away to commercial break there in the news, I wanted to talk a little bit about the marketing side of Apple, because you hone in on that very, very well in your book. And as a showman, Steve Jobs was absolutely unparalleled. He often ended product announcements by saying his very famous quote, "And one more thing," and then he would drop the bomb. That one thing was typically a blockbuster announcement, and he delivered it with such whimsy and such flair, I guess is the way to look at it.
Yeah.
And you pick up that in the book, and you talk about how companies who want to emulate Apple should do just that one more thing. Talk to us a little bit more about that style and what companies can do to emulate that.
What I think that it's people should set their expectations properly, of course. They shouldn't think that just, you know, by taking a lot of classes or working with a trainer that they can become the next Steve Jobs, although most people can improve their speaking by doing things like that. But what any company can do is to understand that Jobs made it look easy, you know, like a baseball player with a nice easy swing or a golfer with an easy swing, but he practiced over and over, and he was a stickler for the details on these presentations. And the people who came on stage with him would present to him and his executives in Cupertino for weeks before they would end up on stage in San Francisco, for example. So I think companies can learn that there's no amount of preparation that is too much for these public events. And then companies can learn that they shouldn't give their customers, their audience, too much information. Jobs was a master at a simple delivery of marketing information. Just tell them enough to get excited about the product. Don't overwhelm them.
Well, let's go down that path, too, if we can, for just a minute, Adam, because Apple's well known for their meaningful marketing messages. Think different when they were promoting the Macintosh computer. 1,000 songs in your pocket when the iPod first came out.
Yep.
And that's one of the principles in your book, too. So how can businesses emulate what Apple does to own that message?
So what Apple does, and better than any other company I've ever seen, is their way of first crafting the message well and simply and honing it, and then delivering it in a very disciplined, controlled way. So what I explain in the book is when they do a major product announcement, only a certain number, of people are allowed to speak about it publicly. And those people who do speak about it use the words that the Apple marketing department has scripted for them to use. And they're encouraged never to deviate from the script, because the script is good, number one. And number two, you want your listener to repeat the words that you've scripted so that these wonderful lines, 1,000 songs in your pocket, start coming back into the marketplace and getting repeated by the people that their listeners tell them to. And they create this happy feedback loop.
That's great. My guest is Adam Leshinsky, author of the book Inside Apple, How America's Most Admired and Secretive Company Really Works. Adam, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book Inside Apple?
I want people who work at big companies, and in particular executives at big companies, to learn how a big company can do innovation at scale, how they can be entrepreneurial. I want entrepreneurs to read it to understand some basic lessons about how to do a startup and why culture is so important at a startup. And I want individuals to read it and reflect on their career. And I had an experience of my own, which was when I understood that Apple people are not multitaskers, and I am the ultimate multitasker. It was incredibly humbling for me when I realized how much they accomplish by focusing.
That is great. My guest has been Adam Leshinsky. Adam, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I have a website, adamleshinsky.net, that has a bunch of places to buy the book. I recorded the book myself so they can get an audio book. They can go to Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. I'm everywhere.
That is great. And that's Adam Leshinsky, LASHINSKY.com. Adam,
it is dot net.
Net. Thank you for correcting me. Dot net. Adam, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk to you down the road.